Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We ought to walk just as Jesus walked if we abide in him. When we abide in Jesus, what do we do? Well, how did Jesus walk? He loved people enough that he gave his life as a sacrifice. He loved sinners. He loved people who thought they were righteous. He took time to sit down with Simon the Pharisee.
We hear the phrase, walk like Jesus, but what exactly does that mean? And how do we do that? The answer is found in the greatest commandment and the one thing Jesus did that changed lives and hearts forever. He loved those around him. With more from our teaching out of 1 John chapter 2, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
How is it that we know that we really know him? By this we know that we know him, that we, if we keep his commandments. Now again, it doesn't mean that you always keep his commandments. It doesn't mean you keep every commandment, but it means that in your life, you are practicing, you are walking in the commandments of God. You say, I want to know what God wants from me, and I want to keep his commandments. And there's no shock as to where he goes when he starts talking about the commandments we're supposed to keep. But he says, we keep the commandments. If you say that you love God, but you don't want to keep his commandments, well he's going to go on to say that. Let him say it. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, I love that John just calls people a liar. You say that you love God, but you're not keeping his commandments, well, you're a liar. You know, sometimes John, again, old, right? Sometimes old people don't care what they say. They're like, I'll just say it. I'm too old to worry about it. I just say it. A few years ago, there was a gal here that was having an affair with a guy from here, and a family was being broken apart by it. We had dealt with it, and those kind of things are hard and brutal, and really, they're depressing. And we had dealt with it, and she wasn't coming to the church anymore. We were going to tell her that she couldn't come, but she saw that coming, and she was like, I'm out of here. I'm not coming anymore. Okay. And I'm over at Chipotle eating my lunch by myself, and she comes in, and I see her. I'm like, oh no. And so I slide over in the bench thinking I could just finish up my burrito, then I could sneak out. But she sees me and she comes, makes a beeline over. She sits down. I'm glad I saw you here because I really want to tell you something. I said, all right. She said, I want you to know that I am a spiritual woman and that I love God. And I said, I don't think so. And I went on to kind of say this verse. If I was like Don, I'd have said, you're a liar and truth ain't in you. Because if you really do love God and you really are spiritual, affairs can be forgiven, but you're heartbroken over them. You come to the pig pen moment. You come to the moment when the rooster crows and you realize, I've sinned and this is awful. I don't want this. And prodigals can return to Christ. They can come back to him again. But if you say, I love God, but I don't want to follow him. I love God, but I don't want to do what he says. Then you don't know that you know him. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you don't know that you know him. You want security. The way you get security is that you want to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And he even empowers us with the Holy Spirit to be able to live the commandments that he gives us. And so he says then in verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Now, why did John go there? By this we know that the love of God is perfected within us. Because Jesus was asked a question by a lawyer. What is the greatest commandment? Do you remember the answer Jesus had? Right. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Bible goes on to say, in these two commands, you fulfill all of the law and the prophet. If you love God and love people, you keep the commandments of God. You're making a commitment to follow him when you're making a commitment to walk in love towards one another. And so he says that if we keep his commandments, the love of God is perfected in our hearts. He works in us to love the people around us, and then we know that we're in him. That's what it's about. It's not about knowing doctrine. It's not about being able to quote scripture. It's not about having some spiritual gift that you can speak in tongues or you can prophesy or you can do something supernaturally. the church in Corinth was the most carnal of all the churches we find in the New Testament, and they fell short of none of the spiritual gifts. Doesn't mean you're spiritual. The only thing that means we are spiritual is if we walk in love. And Paul pointed that out to the Corinthians in the great chapter on love in 1 Corinthians. Now there is faith, there is hope, and there is love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith, we're saved by faith. Hope, we live for Christ because of the hope of eternity. Faith and hope are awesome. But he's saying love is even greater than them. Of course, he says, when we walk with him, the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts, or the love of God is perfected in him. And by this, we know that we know him, because the love of Christ is working around us. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. We ought to walk just as Jesus walked if we abide in him. When we abide in Jesus, what do we do? Well, how did Jesus walk? He loved people enough that he gave his life as a sacrifice. He loved sinners. He loved people who thought they were righteous. He took time to sit down with Simon the Pharisee when a prostitute came in and wept on his feet and wiped her tears with her hair. And Jesus went on to tell Simon, who loves more, the person who's been forgiven much or little? In Simon's mind, he would have been forgiven little, but this woman would be forgiven much. And he says, well, I think the one is forgiven more. He said, you have said rightly. And this woman who has sinned greatly will love greatly. What a powerful picture of the love of Christ. And that's how we are to be. Jesus, he had harsh words for the scribes and the Pharisees who were twisting God's word, who were in it for themselves. But he showed the love of Christ to anyone who was willing to come to him, including the disciples, including people who were sinners. He was called a friend of sinners. So we walk like he walks. We want to walk in love as he does. That's keeping his commandments and abiding in him. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. This isn't new. It's Deuteronomy that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. People say, I don't even want to read Deuteronomy. That's in there? Well, that's in there. I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot more that's in there. There's a lot that you read and you go, I don't know how this applies, right? In Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the second telling. Deuto is two. Deuteronomy was the second telling of the law to the generation that was going into the promised land. And it covers almost all of the law. If a donkey falls in a pit on your property, here's what you're supposed to do. I haven't had a donkey fall in the pit on my property in a long time. Fine, hard applications. But we can learn from it because we see what we're supposed to do, which is we're supposed to care for the donkey, and then we're to return the donkey to the neighbor. That's love, right? You don't go, it's not my donkey. My donkey, I take care of it. It's not my donkey down there. But because we love our neighbor, which is from Leviticus, of all places, talk about a book people don't want to read. Leviticus has a bunch of sacrifices. Then you cut up the animal and you divide the entrails and you tie the animal here and there. Then you make the sacrifice, you give some to the priest. I mean, that's over and over again. But it really speaks of the sacrifice that Jesus gave. It's powerful, but it's out of Leviticus that it says, love your neighbor as yourself. These are not new commandments. It goes all the way back there. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Paul wrote and said, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I have all faith and have all knowledge, but don't have love, I don't have anything. You could literally be a know-it-all. You could know it all and have not love, and it's no benefit to you at all. Everything we have only becomes a benefit to us as we begin to love the people around us. In fact, I believe it's the direction for what we do. When you have a difficult problem, when you have something hard in your life that you don't know what to do, people will come up sometimes, they'll say, listen, I got a problem. My mother-in-law is this and that. They'll tell me the problem with mother-in-law. And we love you mother-in-laws, by the way. I love my mother-in-law, all right? And then I'll say, well, and I'll kind of give them a little direction. Well, the Bible says this and this, and I think, and they'll go, oh, no, I can't do that. Can't do that. You don't understand. This is this and this and this. And she's this way and she's this way and she's that way. And you can't understand. All right, well, then maybe you should do this. And I'll give some more scripture. Oh, no, you don't understand. And finally, I'll say, because I realize they're looking for just the right answer. They haven't really come to find direction. They came to get backup. right? They want to go do what they want to do. And they want to be able to say, Pastor Robert told me, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I'll say something like, what does love tell you to do? That's always not, if they're looking for backup, that's not something they want to hear. Because you can find out how you're supposed to respond by that question. And in fact, if your goal is to walk in love, and what does love tell you to do with your mother-in-law who's a little out of control? Then you find out what to do. And if you don't know exactly what to do, if you say, well, whatever I do, I'm going to do out of love. I'm going to love her. I'm going to respond out of love. What does love tell you to do? And isn't this exactly what Jesus told us? And if we apply that to every difficult situation, you say, oh, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what they're like. Oh, I do. And I understand that there are people who are annoying. I understand there are people who are mean, but it gives you a chance to actually do. It's an opportunity to love your enemy. Jesus didn't say love your frenemy. He said love your enemy. When someone says to me, well, you don't understand what they're doing to me. Oh, that's like an enemy. Yeah, it's like an enemy. Love your enemy. Now you have an opportunity to show love, to actually do it. It's like when people are persecuted. They come and say they're getting persecuted at work. Well, rejoice. Because Jesus said, when you are persecuted, rejoice. It's an opportunity to do what Jesus tells us to do. And we say, well, it's hard. But that's his commandments. That's what he told us. And that's why he went to love when he talks about the commandments. Because that's what God wants from us. When we think of commandments, we always go to, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Now, you shouldn't steal and you shouldn't. Well, it doesn't ever say lie. It says bear false witness. You shouldn't steal and you shouldn't slander. That's what bearing false witness is. You shouldn't steal, you shouldn't slander. You're right. Because stealing isn't walking in love. Because slandering someone isn't walking in love. Because coveting what they have isn't walking in love. When someone gets a promotion that you wanted and you love them, you're happy they got it. If it's between you and a friend, I mean a really close friend, a really good friend at your work, and they get the promotion and you don't, you're kind of sad you didn't get it. But you are happy they got it, aren't you? You say, well, good for you. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. Hey. Can't believe they gave it to you and not me. But you're happy for them. If you're not, it's not love. Can't believe they got it. It's jealousy. It's coveting. If you love them, you fulfill all the commandments of God. They're all fulfilled if we love one another. He then says again, a new commandment I write to you. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, which was to love one another, which was really fulfilling all the old ones. He says, which is true. This is true. This is the truth. This isn't like the false teachings that were beginning to circulate in the church in those days that John was so worried about. And we find out in the writings of Paul that Paul is so worried about. He says, in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now, light, he had said in chapter 1, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Light always wins. Turn on a light, what happens to the darkness? Fleets away. Light a candle, turn on a flashlight, turn on the flash on your phone, wave it around, and the darkness leaves. And so if you and I walk in light, and the light is love, and if we walk in the light, we won't stumble around in the darkness. That's where John's going to go. He says, in verse 9 again, he who says that he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. If you're walking in that hatred, you are in darkness. And of course, Jesus said of us that the world will know that we are his disciples by the love that we truly have for one another. And my hope is that people would see so clearly the love that we have for each other. I often pray, Lord, let us get to know one another, love one another, and be there for one another. That takes a few things. From time to time, I have opportunities to be somewhere else during a church service, and I'll go to a church just to check it out. Sometimes I went to go to Charles Swindoll's church just because I wanted to. It was like a bucket list for me. And the day that I went, he was preaching on 1 Peter chapter 5. He was preaching a message to pastors when I went. I saw it as such a God moment. I was like, I came here to check something off my bucket list, and I'm getting preached to on how to be a pastor from Charles Swindoll. It was the coolest thing ever. But when I do that, sometimes I walk in and I notice that people are walking around like they're walking around a mall. They're not looking at anybody. They're just kind of walking around. Because you don't look people in the eye at a mall, right? If you don't believe me, try that sometimes. Just try to walk around and look at people in the eye. Nod at him, see him, look at him, say hi. Security's going to come and find you and take you away. They're going to wonder what's up with you. No, when you're in a mall, you just kind of mind your own business. You're going to look in stores. You aren't looking at people. People almost walking into you. You're just kind of walking away from them because they're doing what I call the mall walk. They're looking at something and running into you, right, at the same time. And you even walk fast and don't make any eye contact on purpose when they're giving samples of perfume to you or cell phones or trying to sell you in cell phones. No, I got one. I got one. I got one. I got one. I even said to my wife before, don't make eye contact. Don't look. Don't look. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. You try to move by really quick. A lot of times that's like church. We come in and we have, not only do we have in common that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, but we chose to go to the same church together. That ought to give us something in common. We ought to come in and make eye contact. It's the first step. You can't be friends with someone unless you look them in the eye, right? Have you ever gone to meet somebody and not look them in the eye? How you doing? How you doing? Good to meet you. It's really nice to know you. Bye-bye. I'm leaving now. No, we look them in the eye because that gets to know them. You walk into church and you look them in the eye, you wave it, nod your head at someone. Maybe you see them a few times. You don't talk to them. You're just kind of walking by. Going to get your kids in the Sunday school and you're smiling at people who go by. And then after you've done that for a little while, you're getting familiar with people. And now you kind of see somebody leaning against the edge of the building over here when you're coming back. And you say, I've seen you around. What's your name? My name's Robert. Introduce yourself. Because it's a natural thing now. Because you've taken time to make eye contact. Because you've been friendly. What does the Bible say? He who wants friends must himself first be friendly. So you reach out and you get to know him a little bit. And then after a while, you see him at church and you're hugging him. And then after a while, you say, how you doing? And they say, well, not so good. Went to the doctor and they think I got cancer. And you're able to, oh man, let me pray for you. I'm so sorry. And you ask them a little more and you pray with them. Or maybe you walk up to them and they go, yeah, how you doing? I'm doing great. I just found out my son got accepted into medical school. You're like, you're going to have a doctor in the family? That's awesome. Free medical care. Can't get any better than that. Not in these days. And the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. But the Bible also says that we are to bear one another's burdens. And how can we bear one another's burdens if we don't get to know one another? And it's not an overnight process. It's a process of being friendly. It's a process of getting to know people. It's a process of talking with people, of sitting down with people, getting to know them. Then when people come in from the world, they'll see us and they'll know that we genuinely love each other. It's not a fake cult love. It's not when you walk in and, hey, brother, how are you, brother? Good to see ya. How are you? Where you go, I got to get out of here. That's how I got to do. That we see right through it. We know when we come in and there's a sappy, fake love. We know that. And I'm not saying that we do that. I'm saying we genuinely get to know one another and we genuinely care about one another and love one another. And we love people who are in the world and we really care about them. You know, the Bible says, those who sow seeds with tears will rejoice bringing in the sheaves. Remember that old gospel song? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Well, what's a sheave, right? I don't know what a sheave is. A sheave is wheat. They would go out into a field, they would wrap something around the wheat and tie it off, and they would cut it off on the bottom, and it made it into a sheave. They would pile it up. That's a sheave. Those who sow in tears, biblical principle, will rejoice bringing in the sheaves. If we care about people who are lost, then we'll rejoice in the day of harvest. If we love them now, if we truly do love the world, even as God so loved the world, and now we're his representative, if love is a part of our life, we really will become those whom God wants us to be. He goes on to say here, if we say that we're in the light and we hate our brothers, we're in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He's simply saying that if we love one another, we love our brethren, that we're in the light and we're not going to stumble. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Because if you walk in love, you're going to end up doing what's right. I've said before, even if you do what's wrong, if you do it in love, then you're going to be fine. Because how much trouble can you get into if you're really doing it out of love? Even if it's wrong, if it's out of love. You say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. I wanted it to be this. Even if we make a mistake, we're walking in the light. We won't stumble. Love, to walk in love, is to walk in the light and we'll see clearly how we're supposed to treat one another, even how we're supposed to treat a difficult mother-in-law. Love you, mother-in-laws. Love my mother-in-law. But we'll even know how to deal with that. Because we see clearly. Because we walk in the light. Love's in the light. Isn't that what he says in verse 10? He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no case for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness, walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. What a picture he's given us. That when we walk in love, we're in the light and we see clearly. And when we walk in hatred, we're in darkness and we're stumbling around and we're groping because we don't know where we are. But as we walk in that love, God is glorified. We are Christ-like. We are fulfilling his commandments. And that's how we know that we're in him. When we're fulfilling those commandments, loving one another, not slandering, not stealing, because we love one another, we know that we are now his children. Again, I'm not saying that you aren't. I'm saying you know you are. You want security in your salvation? You know you are. When you begin to walk in love, keep the commandments of God. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again for this time that we have to be able to open up our Bibles and hear from you. And as we listen to John, this seasoned saint who has suffered so much and now is pouring out his heart, that the church would not be caught up in some weird new doctrine, but would walk in Christ and walk in love and let love be that dominant thing. We pray, Lord, that that would be the case for each one of us. We thank you for this, that we would be able to walk in the light and walk in love, that you would help us with this to be able to fulfill it. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The memory verse or the I Heart Scripture verse that we had last week was John 1:12. As many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become the children of God. That was another easy memory verse for you guys because I quote it all the time, right? Well, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, that's what you have to do to be saved. Lord, I want you in my life. Come into my life now. And if you're here tonight and you have never invited him in, I want to give you an opportunity before you go. I'm going to do it a little different way than I normally do it. I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment. And if you would like to give your life to Christ for the first time or come back to him, then simply say amen at the end of it. Simply agree with my prayer. By saying amen, you're saying, that's my prayer. So be it. That's my prayer as well. So let's pray. And I want to pray this prayer of commitment. Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin can separate me from you, but I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you by the power of your resurrection. I give everything to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.